I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. So much politics, so little time. Coming up, what to wear or not to wear to the voting booth. We'll try to sort out fact from fiction on this question of whether voters can wear their campaign regalia to the polls or not. But first, the vice presidential debate. Millions of Americans tuned in last night to watch the one and only meeting of the vice presidential nominees. It took place at Washington University in St. Louis. Both candidates had expectations to meet and reputations to fight, not to mention the partisan dust-up over moderator Gwen Ifill's objectivity. To talk about all this, Alan Schroeder is back with us. He's an associate professor of journalism at Northeastern University who studies media and the presidency. And we also have Joel Goldstein. He's a law professor at St. Louis University School of Law, and he also studies the vice presidency. Welcome to you both. Thank you both so much.
It's good to be with you.
Joel, I have to start with you. You're in St. Louis. You're not at Washington University. Was there a lot of excitement about the debate?
Oh, there really was. I mean, it's a huge event for St. Louis to have it, and there was a tremendous amount of excitement to have the debate here last night.
So, but apart from that, and of course there was here too, there were debate parties all over Washington, and we just figured we're just nerds like that. But how important is a debate like this to the whole process of selecting a president? The vice presidential debates, vice presidents typically only have one encounter. Is it important to the process or just a topic of interest?
Well, I think it can be important, particularly with respect to the vice presidency. It serves several purposes. It gives presidential candidates a reason to choose somebody who is presidential. They know that their vice presidential candidate is going to have to face this debate and be on the national media for 90 minutes. It also offers an opportunity for voters to see how the candidates think on their feet, how they answer questions. And it's really the only opportunity they have to see the two candidates together.
Alan Schroeder, speaking of thinking on her feet, since John McCain tapped Sarah Palin as his running mate, 5 weeks ago now, she's had only a handful of unscripted encounters with the media. And the last couple of appearances, particularly her interview with CBS anchor Katie Couric, she really seemed to stumble. So how do you think she did last night?
Well, I think she actually redeemed herself last night. I don't think she completely undid all the damage that had come about as a result of those interviews. And in a way, for her, it's too bad that this debate didn't take place 2 weeks after the convention speech and before anything else. I think we would have had a whole different impression. The problem is that as well as she did, there's still this other version of Sarah Palin that has been cemented in people's minds based on those interviews and on the Tina Fey imitation and so forth. So as much as she redeemed herself, I'm still not sure that was quite enough to completely reverse course for her.
I want to play a short clip, and then I'm going to ask Joel, what do you think she did effectively, and what she may not have done so well. Let's play a short clip.
You said regarding Senator McCain's military policies there, Senator Biden, that you supported a lot of these things. In fact, you said that you wanted to run, you'd be honored to run with him on the ticket. And that's an indication, I think, of some of the support that you had, at least until you became the VP pick here. You also said that Barack Obama was not ready to be commander-in-chief.
So, Alan, let you start, since you said that you thought she redeemed herself. Tell me what you think she did effectively, and then, Joel, we want to hear from you about her performance.
Well, in that, you saw that she had her line of attack pretty well prepared. She knew who she was debating. Now, I do feel that Biden did a considerably better job in attacking McCain and keeping his focus on McCain and defending Obama.
But we're going to talk about him in a minute. We're going to get to him.
Okay. All right. We'll get back to him. But I also thought that in that, she, her sort of folksy style, her very direct style, her very conversational style, and obviously she knows how to work the camera. She was a sports anchor in Alaska, for heaven's sake. So I think all that worked to her benefit.
So her audience was not Joe Biden or people in that room. Her audience was really the television audience. She really didn't bother with those people.
She really didn't. I mean, she may as well have been debating in isolation in that sense.
Okay. Joel Goldstein, your take?
Well, I agree with, I think, Professor Schroeder's comments. I thought that in terms of style, I thought she did very well. I mean, if one were grading on style, you'd give her a very high grade, I think. I think where she was weaker was in terms of substance. She really stuck with talking points. She really didn't get into depth on any issue. She didn't talk about causes of problems. She, when Senator Biden would attack Senator McCain's plans, she wasn't able really to come up with a defense. So that, I think she redeemed herself in the sense of recovering from the Katie Couric interview, I'm not at all sure that she demonstrated that she's somebody that people would feel comfortable with a heartbeat away.
And let's talk about Joe Biden now. I think, and I have to admit, I was among those who wondered aloud whether he would be verbose, as we know he can be, whether he would be perceived as condescending. I'm going to play a short clip of Joe Biden, and then I'm going to hear from both of you about how he did. Here it is.
The issue is, how different is John McCain's policy going to be than George Bush's? I haven't heard anything yet. I haven't heard how his policy is going to be different on Iran than George Bush's. I haven't heard how his policy is going to be different with Israel than George Bush's. I haven't heard how his policy in Afghanistan is going to be different than George Bush's. I haven't heard how his policy in Pakistan is going to be different than George Bush's. It may be, but so far, it is the same as George Bush's. And you know where that policy has taken us.
Alan Schroeder, tell us what you think he did effectively and perhaps where he may have fallen short.
Well, I think that was sort of the classic vice presidential debate strategy, to make the debate be about the top of the ticket in absentia, to debate the debater who isn't there as opposed to the one who's on the stage with you. And Biden was a master of that throughout this debate from start to finish. I think on the downside, you know, he falls into his Senate speak a little bit. He kept talking about Dick Lugar and Mike Mansfield and people who are not household names around the country but are clearly part of his day-to-day universe. So, I think you do have to keep in touch with that audience in a pretty direct way. And she obviously was better at that than he was.
Joel?
I think that's absolutely right. I thought that the clip that you played, I think, really was one of Senator Biden's best moments, because he both executed his strategy of trying to tie Senator McCain to President Bush. But he also, I think, in a subtle way, really said in substance, Governor Palin's not talking specifics, without appearing to say that in directly. I think that vice presidential candidates, really what they're trying to do by and large, as Professor Schroeder suggests, is they're trying to attack the other side's presidential candidate, and they're really trying to celebrate the leadership of the person at the top of their ticket. Governor Palin, I think, had the added challenge of really trying to recover from her interviews and to demonstrate that she's presidential.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Professor Joel Goldstein, a vice presidential scholar, and Professor Alan Schroeder, an expert on media and the presidency, about last night's vice presidential debate. We'd also like to hear from you. We'd like to know if you watched, where you watched, what's your take on the debate. You can call our comment line at 202-842-3522, or you can go to the Tell Me More page at npr.org and blog it out. Do need to ask about the moderator, Gwen Ifill, who, in the spirit of full disclosure, is a personal friend of mine. There was I don't know if you'd agree with this, a campaign of sorts, I would say, by conservative writers who said that a book she's writing about post-civil rights politics, African-American politicians, posed a conflict. How do you all think that she did? Do you think the questioning was fair? Professor Goldstein?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's a real professional. And she did the debate in 2004. She asked very sort of direct and questions, I think, doesn't really play gotcha at all. And my understanding is that the fact that she was writing this book was something that both campaigns have known for quite a long time. So I think it really was sort of dirty pool at the last minute to try and game her, in a sense, and to try and suggest that there was unfairness. I thought she's a professional, and I thought she was last night.
Alan, what do you think? In fact, I have to tell you that some of the comments on the NPR message board suggest that people feel that she wasn't as aggressive as she could have been, because it was commented upon that Sarah Palin did not answer many of the questions that were directly posed to her. Now, of course, she said she wasn't going to, but what do you think?
Well, I think that Gwen Ifill was somewhat at the mercy of the format here. I mean, you had these 90-second responses followed by a whopping 2 minutes of discussion. There's not too much you can get done in that amount of time. And I'm a big admirer of Gwen Ifill's, and I think she's a terrific interviewer. I could sort of sense her frustration in not being able to follow up, but I do wish she had perhaps held their feet to the fire a little more closely in getting those answers. On the point of this complaint about her writing a book, I mean, I think that that's fairly ridiculous because the campaigns themselves endorsed Gwen Ifill and approved her as the moderator. If there had been a problem, they had every opportunity to do something about it a month ago, and there were no objections whatsoever.
Finally, in just the time we have left, I'd like to hear from each of you about, were there any memorable moments from this debate that we will look back on years down the line? Alan Schroeder, why don't you start?
Well, I think what will be remembered is the affect of Sarah Palin, this sort of folksy style. We've never really seen it, in a debate at this level to quite that degree. Now, whether that comes off as corny and turns people off, or whether it connected and seemed very human and real, is up to the voters to decide. She almost reminded me a little bit last night of George W. Bush in 2000 in his debates, where you could see that she was, you know, so heavily schooled that she was going through her reciting her school lessons. And I think we'll also remember that moment where Joe Biden showed that moment of emotion and near tears as he discussed the death of his wife and the illness of his child.
I agree. I thought that was a very significant moment. Professor Goldstein?
I agree with what the two of you just said. As a vice presidential junkie, I was intrigued by her comment that the vice president could have greater constitutional power as president of the Senate. That's a new one to me, and so I'd be very interested in what she had in mind there. She didn't really specify, so that's one thing I'm curious about.
All right.
But I think there really were no Jack Kennedy moments in this debate.
And finally, sir, just a couple seconds left, was it a game changer? Joel Goldstein, do you think it changed anything about the campaign as it goes forward, the dynamics, the underlying dynamics?
No, it saved Governor Palin, but I don't think it was a game changer at all.
All right. Joel Goldstein is a law professor at St. Louis University School of Law. He's also a vice presidential scholar. He was kind enough to join us from the studios of KWMU in St. Louis, Missouri. Alan Schroeder is an associate professor of journalism at Northeastern University. He's an expert on presidential debates, and he was kind enough to join us from the studios of MIT in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Gentlemen, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.